In the name of the God who created us, the Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A few announcements in the life of the church. First, last night we had an incredible celebration in this room for the first anniversary of Sister Thea Bowman Ecumenical Catholic Church, who, as you know, worships on Saturday evenings down in the new chapel. It was a great crowd, a great spirit. Thank you to everyone who came to celebrate with them. It was a really wonderful evening, and on behalf of Carol Ann Blow, their pastor, and the members, I want to pass on their gratitude to the congregation this morning. They have felt a wonderful welcome from this church over the last year, and that was expressed very lovingly last night. So thank you to everyone for that. This week, Ferncliff will be hosting Camp Noah here at the church. Camp Noah is a Lutheran program that is for children who have been through natural disasters. We have 28, perhaps now 29, kids coming this week for Camp Noah. They will be all over downstairs in the gym, the new chapel, the classrooms, the hallways, you name it. This place will be alive on the next five mornings. Thank you to everyone who has signed up to volunteer. We managed to fill all those volunteer slots. Very grateful to everyone for their time. The Ferncliff staff will be here to lead the camp. If you would like to drop by at some point, camp will be going from basically 9 o'clock to 2:30. Come by and just see the activity. It's going to be really fantastic, and this is a great program. We are very grateful to Ferncliff for thinking of us as a partner for it this week. This morning we started a 3-week Sunday school class, and I hope that you will make plans, if you do not make it this morning, to join us next week. As many of you know, June is Pride Month, and this month we are spending 3 weeks talking about the history of the church with LGBTQ Christians. Next week we'll be talking about issues facing that community, and in 2 weeks we will have two children who are connected to our church, who identify as transgender and non-binary, to come and talk to us about their life experience. So I hope that you will make plans to join us for that Sunday school class. Midweek Manna is on a break for the next couple of Wednesdays. We have this week because of Camp Noah, and next week because of a scheduling conflict. We will resume on the 21st. Also, yoga is on a break for the month of June. Keep an eye on the calendar, if you will. If you normally have a meeting downstairs during the day, those meetings have been relocated to Hardy Chapel. So PW tomorrow morning, other meetings that happen during the week, PW, all those meetings will be in the Hardy Chapel. It will be set up for each of those events. So if you normally meet downstairs during the week, in the morning or early afternoon, those gatherings will be in Hardy Chapel this week. Now, friends, let's gather our hearts and our minds. Let us still our spirits as together we prepare to worship God.
you will, please join me in the call to worship. Good news. The Holy One, God Almighty, claims us as God's very own. Rejoice in the Lord. Good news. The times of trouble are nearly over. Rejoice in the Lord always. Good news. God is in our midst, ready to renew us with holy love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again we say, rejoice. Good news, good news. The peace of the Lord will dwell in our hearts. We lift up our hearts in thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Move us, joyful God. Take our hands and lead us in your dance of creation. When we are uncertain, guard our hearts with your peace. When our steps falter, surround us with the strength of your Spirit. Guide us, dancing God, until we move and sing with the joy of your salvation. In the name of Emmanuel, God with us, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me in the call to confession. Brothers and sisters, Nothing we can say or do can ever separate us from God's mercy and love. The gifts of God are eternal and will never be withdrawn. God's ultimate desire and purpose is not to punish, but to forgive. So together we may pray with hope, not fear. Let us pray together. We profess that you are God, O Holy One. We have no other gods before you sometimes. Our other gods are not the ones of our ancestors, the ones beyond the river or in Egypt or of the Amorites. We struggle with other gods here and now who seek to fulfill us by consumerism and with self-importance. We hear gods who instill in us such fear of our enemies that we forget to see our neighbors. Help us, O God, to find fulfillment in you. Forgive us that we are skeptical of love's transforming power. Remind us that despite our failings and our folly, you are ever faithful.
Friends, more abundant than the waters that fall on the earth is the grace and mercy of God. God's boundless love and eternal mercy know no end. So friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. This morning, we begin a series on folk music. You remember last year we did the Broadway series. This year, it's the folk music series. And we start this morning with a modern folk musician, Mary Chapin Carpenter, also a country musician. This song of hers is called When Haley Came to Jackson. This song is one of my very favorites, I have to confess. It is a song about a family and about Haley's Comet. So without further ado.
brought the baby to the windowsill. See a bit of heaven shoot across the sky. The one and only time that he saw it fly. It came from the east just as bright as a torch. The neighbors had a party on their porch. Daddy rocked the baby, mother said amen. When Hallie came to visit in 1910.
Let us pray. Woo! All right, there we go. Now let us pray. I'm going to catch my breath now. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Amen. I chose this morning the text to go with that song, a text from 1 Chronicles. You've all read 1 Chronicles, right? We all turn to 1 Chronicles in time of need, don't we? That familiar text that it is. From the first book of the Chronicles. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. Noah's family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Japheth's family, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Gomer's family, Ashkenaz, Rifat, and Togarah. Javan's family, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Rodanim. Ham's family, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. Abraham's family, Isaac and Ishmael, these were their descendants. Ishmael's oldest son was Nebaioth, and Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. This was Ishmael's family, Abraham's secondary wife, Keturah's family. She gave birth to Zimron, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. In this and at all times, speak to us as only you can in the silence of our hearts. Amen. When I was in seminary, Carol Miles, my preaching professor, put us through an exercise in our preaching class. We walked into class and she had us draw slips of paper out of a jar. Each slip of paper had a biblical text written on it. The exercise was this. You have to step in at the very last second to preach in the worship service that has been entirely shaped and themed around a biblical text. Because the theme is woven through the service, you do not have the option of simply preaching from something more familiar. So without any preparation, you have to preach on the text at hand. Now that scenario is not at all likely to happen. But the exercise was interesting anyway. Into that text we had a number on it, and that number was the order in which we would preach. So the first person had 5 minutes to prepare some notes and start preaching for the class, and when they started, preacher number two could start preparing for theirs. Thankfully, she only asked for 4 or 5 minutes. Preacher number one had something obscure from one of Paul's letters, if I recall. Preacher number two was less lucky. They got something from Revelation. I don't recall what 3 and 4 had, but I remember vividly what number 5 got. 1 Chronicles 3:1-5. I have no recollection of what I preached that day, which is probably for the best. But I do recall the lesson she gave us in that exercise. When we got finished preaching, she noted that the scenario was unlikely to ever take place. But now that we had done it, we knew we could do it. Until today, I can tell you, that was the last time I preached from the book of Chronicles. These books are not easy ground in which to mine for the Word of God. In fact, it is a legitimate question to ask why much of the books of Chronicles are even in the canons. Parts of each book tell the story of the early kingships in the early days of Israel, and that history is very important. But why include all the names? Where is the word of the Lord in a list of names? I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of felt like I was up here reading the old book, reading the phone book to you. The answer, I think, comes in realizing that the names themselves aren't really the point. Yes, they are familiar names of the patriarchs of the faith, but I think the same message could have been conveyed with a list of other names, unknown names. See, the point here is not the names that are listed. The point is the listing of them itself and what that list represents. Generations. These texts that list the names of the generations that have gone on before are a reminder to us that we do not stand in this world or in this church in a discrete moment in time, separated from what came before or what comes after. Instead, we are part of an unfolding story that is generations in the making. When I was preparing this 5-week series on folk music, one of the songs that was in the back of my mind and I was determined to use was When Hallie Came to Jackson. It's one of my favorite songs, but not just because I think it's a good song, but also because what it reminds me of. It's about Hallie's comet, how the comet returned and connects generations of one family. In 1910, the comet passed by the earth and young parents hold their child up to the window to see it. Then 76 years later, that child, no longer young, her parents no longer there, watches the same comet fly through the same sky from that same front porch. One reason I like the song so much is entirely personal and has nothing to do really with the song itself. It reminds me of my granddaddy John, my mom's father.
When Halley's Comet passed in 1986, he made sure that all the grandchildren were out in the front yard in Kamak Village to watch it pass. He did not recall being a three-year-old in his mother's arms in their front yard in Charleston, Missouri, the last time Halley came calling. But he knew it had happened. And he wanted us to experience what he and his siblings and his parents had experienced 76 years before. In a really broader sense, that comet connected much more than my grandfather's childhood with mine. There's evidence as far back as the Greeks and Mesopotamians of this comet being noticed in the night sky every 76 to 79 years. This heavenly body made of rock and ice hurtling through space and its strange oblong orbit around the sun, linking generations in common wonder and awe. Since the earliest days of humanity, these kinds of markers in time have mattered to us. The same way that these markers in the text, these generations that we recall, matter to God. See, God tells humanity from the very beginning to be fruitful and multiply, and God appears not merely to one generation, but to many of them. We are reminded that generations that are close and distant are connected through common promise, through common hope, and through a common story in the unfolding work of God in the world. So what does all that have to say to us? You might reasonably ask, what does this list of names from the Bible have to say to Westover Hills Presbyterian Church in 2023? If we listen closely, I think it tells us a great deal. To begin with, this text reminds us that generations matter. Shakespeare was right that what is past is prologue, but that does not mean the past is meaningless. Without the prologue, the story doesn't make sense. So it's wise for us to remember our history, the good, the bad, and yes, even the ugly. Sometimes those things from the past that we hold on to are little reminders of people who came before. At Fonder Presbyterian, my last congregation, there was a large white cabinet in the kitchen that held all of the church's china. I mean, that church could hold a state dinner for the King of England. They had so much china. And taped to the inside door of that cabinet was a handwritten inventory list. At one point, I don't remember when, we were doing a cleaning out and a reorganization of the kitchen and fixing some cabinet doors and things like that. And one of the members went through all the cabinets and made lists of all the contents and typed them up and put them on the door so we'd all know where everything was except that cabinet. On that one, we left Mary's handwritten inventory. See, Mary Brooks was a matriarch of that church. Mary loved that church, loved generations of children in that church, loved generations of elders in that church, loved the kitchen in that church. And folks liked having a little reminder of Mary's love when they opened that cabinet door. Other times, those things from the past provide a firm foundation on which we stand to do the hard work of the gospel in the right here, in the right now. In both my calls in Jackson and in Little Rock, I stand in the shoes of a pair of very bold pastors. In the 1960s, Moody McDill at Fonder and Presbyterian was so vocal about civil rights that the KKK tried to assassinate him and bombed his house. Right here at Westover Hills, Dick Hardy was one of the few pastors brave enough to go to Selma and march for what was right. Generations matter. They witness to us through time and remind us that we who are disciples today have stepped into a story that has been unfolding for thousands of years. So it's no wonder that our canon of Scripture includes a reminder of names like Adam and Enoch and Methuselah and Noah. Those are the names etched on the foundation stones of the faith. They are names that bear at least a passing recognition from Sunday school past. But they're not the only names we get this morning. Adam, Enoch, Methuselah, Noah. We remember all of those, but how many just rush to mind with a memory of Medan, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras? They're all Noah's grandchildren. And I will confess that until I began working on this sermon, I could not have picked any of them out of a lineup. And that, I think, takes us to the second important lesson of this text. If the first lesson is generations matter, the second lesson is all generations matter. It would have been just as simple for the writers of the Chronicles to skip over the names of these lesser-known ancestors of the faith. But part of what these lists of names communicate to us is the importance of the ongoing, unfolding story of God's work in the world. Work that does not just happen in mountaintop moments, but also in all the moments in between. Those forgotten encounters, those passing conversations. All of that together creates the fullness of the story of God. Imagine if we only recorded history based on when Halley's Comet came around. In 1910, more than half of American schools did not have electricity. In 1986, almost half of American schools had computers. The only way to make sense of that is to remember the stories of what comes in between. Those stories might not be as awe-inspiring as a comet flying through the night sky, but they matter deeply in the unfolding history of God's work in the world. The same is true in the church. We need those inspirational stories of the Moody McDills and the Dick Hardys of the world, but we also need those handwritten notes that remind us of the love of Mary Brooks. Both of them are part of our story. And both of them matter to God's telling of it. We need those stories of the faith. Those stories that happen in quiet moments and those stories that go streaking through the night sky. We need them all to be able to write the next chapter that we share. So what do we do with this text this morning? This list of names? Simply this. Add yours to it. Add your name to the unfolding story of God's work in the world. Whether it's taping a note on a kitchen cabinet or marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, your story, my story, matter greatly to God's story. But friends, the only way our stories get recorded is if we tell them. So may we each and every one, in the power and the courage of the gospel, share our stories, great and small, as we graft ourselves onto the stories of the saints who came before, the saints who will come after, and the saints who are sitting next to us right now. Amen.
please join me in what we believe? There is one hope, one calling to which we are called. The hope in our lives is Jesus. There is one hope, one calling to which we are called.
The call we must answer is God's.
There is one faith, one hope, one Lord of us all.
The Lord of our lives is Jesus.
There is one baptism, one Father, one Mother of all.
The Creator
who calls us is God. We are one body, one family, one church, woven by the Spirit with bonds of peace, with Christ's children throughout all of this earth. We are one body in unity and love.
Friends, this morning we begin our summer offering for women and children first. This is the offering that provides fruit during the summertime while school is out. If you would like to give toward that, there are offering envelopes in the pews. You may add that with your regular offering if you would like. The offering boxes you will find at the front of the intermediate aisles. Friends, all that we have, all that we are gifts from God's loving hands. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. It is Christ's table. And he invites all who would come to taste, to see that the Lord is indeed good. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. We ask, O God, that you would receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us, we hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. Hear our prayers, O God, for the world that we share, for our neighbors who are in need, for those who suffer in body, in mind, or in spirit, for your church in every place, for the work of this church in this community, for the lives of all your children, and for the care of your creation. We pray all these things as we praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your Word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. And now, friends, with boldness, let us pray as Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night before he died, Christ gathered at table with his friends, just as we do this morning. And after they had shared the meal together, he took a loaf of bread. In breaking it, he gave it to them, saying, This is my body. It has been broken for you. Take, eat, do this, and remember me. And in the same manner, he took a cup. And pouring it, he said, This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for all of you. Drink it, and remember me. The Apostle Paul adds that as often as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in glory. Friends, these are the gifts of God for all the children of God. Elders, please come serve God's people. Thank you. story of mercy and hope. Send us into this world now as the body of Christ to share your story through our own, to engraft ourselves onto Christ's story in the world, and to proclaim in everything we are and everything we do the love and the mercy of God. Amen. Friends, go into this day to join the story of God's unfolding love in the world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit bless us and keep us in this and in every day. And in one voice, may all God's generations say, Amen. Amen.